Today on Family Talk.
Stress is an unfortunate part of life, and for mothers of younger children, it can be a regular occurrence. The daily tasks of packing lunches, cleaning messes, along with disciplining and teaching, can be quite taxing. When this tension builds up and boils over, anger is often the immediate response. You're listening to Family Talk, a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, child psychologist and respected author, Dr. James Dobson. On today's program, we're going to address that rage that mothers find themselves in through a conversation with Julie Barnhill. Now, Julie has authored 12 books, including She's Gonna Blow, which is the center of our discussion here today. Julie is a frequent speaker at MOPS conventions and Hearts at Home conferences nationwide. She's very well-spoken and an experienced mother of three. In a moment, she'll explain to Dr. Dobson why moms lose control and lash out at their kids. Julie will also share of a dark time in her life when she got a bit too physical with her own children. Let's listen in now to this thought-provoking conversation right here on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Our guest today is Julie Barnhill, and she's written a number of great parenting books, including the one we're going to talk about today called She's Gonna Blow, Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger. And I'm almost sure I've never said this before, but this is a book that I wish I'd written. There's so much here that's relevant to the family, and I think is really going to be of help to people. Julie has been a guest on this program a few times now, as well as a number of different television and radio programs, from NPR to the Oprah Winfrey Show to others. She's a former schoolteacher and a mother of three, and now she's a very popular speaker and author of She's Gonna Blow. Julie, I'm sure some of this is autobiographical, isn't it?
A lot of it is.
At least it comes out of your experience.
Been there, done that. That's exactly. Yeah. That's really the heart of my writing and the heart of my speaking.
Were you a very explosive mom?
You know, I was, and it just simply blindsided me. I had no idea that was the kind of mother I was going to be. I like to say that I come out of an adoption, my past. I was adopted at age three, almost 4 years old. And I can remember as an eight-year-old girl, I remember this, praying and asking God to let me have children. Mm. And I've often wondered if maybe there was some guilt, you know, or something like that. But, you know, I wanted to be a mom. And I didn't leave a high-paying career, and I didn't resent leaving the workforce as a public school teacher. And then I had my first child. And
now, wait a minute. Before that, you were not
person? No. You know, I mean, I got miffed, you know, irritated. Yeah. My family, we don't argue, and my mom and dad and I, you know, you didn't yell at each other and things like that. So, no, I didn't have any idea that these kind of emotions were part of my makeup.
Isn't it interesting that children will bring that out in
you? Isn't that interesting?
It is. What was it about your kids that stirred such passion that you didn't know was there?
I think the number one thing is it's tough. Children are hard to raise, and it's tough being a mom. And I read all the books. I read the magazine articles. I wanted the children. But boy, when it came to the day in, day out realities and the physical just wear of having a child, having it, and then raising that child and emotionally and just being pulled in so many directions and finding myself coming up short, you know, needing to go a little bit deeper and finding that I just didn't have any more to give that day.
Look back on those circumstances where you really felt out of control. What kinds of events were taking place? What were the kids doing?
And what were the triggers that were led up to that? Well, I can tell you one story that this resonates so much with moms. And this is the kind of the reality of children and what you're not planned for. I had just had Ricky Neal. He is our second born. And went to the bank. I'd had a garage sale. I'd made over $700. Wow. I'd sold everything. My husband's baseball equipment. You know, he doesn't have time for those things after being a father. And Kristen was with me. She was absolutely adorable. And I was feeling so good. I had on some little capri pants and a knotted shirt at my hips. And I just thought I had it going. So I'm there at the bank lobby and Kristen is behind me entertaining. And I just thought, I have the most precocious and wonderful child. I've just got this mothering thing down to a T.
And I watch out.
Yes. And I felt this little poke on my derriere, just a little poke, and this little voice that said, "Big bottom, Mama. Big bottom."
Oh, boy.
And everybody, they heard it. They started laughing. And I whipped around. You know, I knotted my shirt and I bent down in my good mommy voice. I was like, "Kristen, precious, we don't talk about mommy's bottom. You know, that's a no-no. So don't say bottom again." So I turned around and Kristen, very compliant, firstborn child, didn't say anything. So everything's right with the world, right? No. I got this punch in the derriere, and she yelled as loud as could be, "Big butt, Mama."
You got to be kidding.
I'm not lying. I just melted in a puddle of humiliation. You know, I'd been accosted by a 3-foot munchkin. And so, you know, just that, the reality of that. And then going home and having a baby that, you know, just, I like to say Ricky just sucked the life out of me. He was a voracious baby. I loved him with all my heart, but he demanded my time, my energy. And one of the worst case scenarios came at the end of a day when I just was worn out physically from having those two kids.
That's probably the key right there, Julie. You were exhausted.
I was exhausted.
When you're that tired, the little things push you over the edge.
Right. And that's what I'll say a lot of times. You know,
I mean, you had two kids under 18 months.
Yes. My husband and I, you know, married, of course, and have this relationship. But I was really a single mom because he was traveling during the week and get home Friday night. And, you know, Sunday morning, he's kind of packing his bags mentally, getting ready for the trip, you know, on Monday. So bearing all of those things together, and exactly, sometimes I say, all it takes is that little poke, mom, 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 and you just, you know, you just blow. You just blow up.
I remember hearing Shirley in the bathroom in the tub and Ryan at the door, banging on the door, and hearing her say, "Ryan, this is mommy's time. Ryan, go talk to your dad. Ryan, she couldn't take any more."
Patrick, my youngest, at one point I would let him, he'd want to come in and love on me. That's what he'd say. "Mom, I want to love on you, you know, while you're in the restroom." And one day I realized, no, this is my time. Yeah. And then we close the door and his fingers are under the door and he's scratching. I mean, you just can't get away from him.
Julie, did it scare you when you blew up the first time?
Oh, Dr. Dobson, I'll tell you what happened. This is when Kristen was the potty training and Rick, my husband, was traveling. Ricky, I would put him on a pallet on the floor and turn the mesh playpen upside down over him because Kristen loved her little bubby so much that she would try to crawl in and she would land on the baby. And, you know, that's not good. So, I mean, this is, you know, we had this whole system set up and I just needed her to take a nap because I needed 20 minutes. That's all I needed. Financially, we were struggling. I mean, just every stress button there was. I put her down for a nap. She woke up. She came and woke me up and I smelled her soiled pants. Ricky started crying. I started to have let down, you know, just, and I just lost it. And I scooped her up, a petite, tiny little thing, and I just shook her. I mean, violently shook her and crying and yelling all at the same time, saying, "You have to stay in your room. I need sleep. Why don't you mind, Mommy?" And when I got closer to her bed, I threw her on her bed. And this is a story that I want to tell because so many moms, this really touches a chord with moms. I didn't plop her. I didn't place her. I threw her onto the bed, and she hit the wall, and immediately, what did I feel? Guilt.
Wow.
Immediately.
Yes.
I love
very well
my
could
child.
Have done serious damage.
Oh, I could have. And I stepped towards her, and she cowered. And that immediately, I'm thinking of the 8-year-old girl that I was who said, "Lord, please let me have children."
I think, is that the place you mentioned in your book that you wrote in your journal the day you had really lost it? Is that the
occasion?
Yes,
that is the day.
You've got it in your book. Can you lay your hands on it there?
Sure can. I wrote this in that day that happened, immediately wrote this in my journal that evening. "I am so ashamed of who I am at times. I pray for mercy. God, please withhold your rightful anger from me. I was so angry at Kristen today. Now I am literally sick to my stomach. Where does this fury come from? How on earth can a 2-year-old make me so crazy? It's as if I have become someone else. I never thought I would become like this as a mom. Does this come from sin? Is it just me? Is it a lack of love? oh God, is it possible I don't love my child? I want to be a mother who isn't like this. What a horrible, ugly mess. Where does this come from?
Those are agonizing questions, aren't they?
They are. Did I not love my child? You know, I have a plan. If there's a fire, this is how I'm going to get the kids out. When we're on the street, I'm aware of the traffic. I would lay down my life for my children. And yet, anger, you know, had such a part in the early years that I questioned, because there had to be a reason for this. And could it be that I didn't love my child? Mm-hmm. Because what kind of mother who loves her child
Who did you talk to about it, Julie? Did you tell your husband?
You know,
did
you
have a friend that you could tell? I mean, you were in danger of abusing your children.
Well, and that was abuse. I mean,
of course it was.
Webster's defines it as excessive or inappropriate behavior. And this is one of the things I want moms to hear is that, you know, we can act excessively and inappropriately, and that is abuse. And, you know, 2 weeks after this occurred, I read in the newspaper of a woman who threw her child in anger, and the child hit a metal curtain rod, it pierced her temple, and it killed the child. Mm. 2 weeks after this. So I had a Bible study group at the time, and I went and I just dumped on them. And I love those women with all my heart, and they love me, but they didn't know what to do with that. There was absolute
silence. None of them admitted?
No one admitted it.
They just weren't telling you. Some of them had to have gone through the same thing.
But
this is not something we want to admit, is it?
No, and it's shame, regret, and self-condemnation. It's a cycle. I mean, those are the three things that I lived with day in and day out. You know, I'd have good days, and we'd have... A good day is if I didn't have those three emotions at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, when you speak, Julie, what happens? When you open up and say these things, what happens?
Oh, boy, the barriers just fall. I like to use humor. And one of the things I will always do is have everyone hold hands. And I'll say, you know, I want you to say, I am not alone. Because, you know, raise your hand if you thought you were going to be the only person here today. You know, there's always someone. Now, I am not alone. So you say that. Then you look at someone and say, you are not alone. And just the power of that, just knowing that there's someone else struggling. And look, this mom looks normal, just like me. And yet she's struggling with these emotions.
You talk largely or most commonly to women. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you title your book, She's Gonna Blow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody knows men get angry, too. Why She's Gonna Blow?
Because this is the book I wanted to read 12 years ago. I literally went to bookstores and would ask the male manager, usually, of the bookstore. I said, where's your section for angry, irritated mothers who wish they'd never had children? And, you know, and they wouldn't know what to do with that. And that's what I wanted. You know, I just wanted a book for moms that are struggling with
well,
that.
Well, it's very appropriate. Men get angry over other things.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, what I have found interesting is that I've had men write me and call me who have read the book and recognize that their wife is struggling with this and she doesn't recognize it, but he has seen it being played out and wants to know how can I approach her and what can I can take into consideration and what's going on, you know, in her life.
Link it to PMS, Julie. Do you talk about that?
Of the things that play into it. And one of the suggestions I have is, and I have trained my children from day one that they can honor and respect the fact that I am female and I am hormonal. So we're going to have to all deal with it, you know? We're either going to deal with it or deal with it.
Watch out. Right?
Exactly. And one of my ideas, you know, maybe this, you know, we can get this off the ground here today, but it's a thermometer. Uh-huh. And I would just love it to put a magnet, you know, that you can increase the temperature. So really, when your three-year-old comes down, he can have an awareness that, you know, that red is up here.
Yeah, don't push mom too far.
Right.
Today.
So just be careful, you know, and to have your husband to understand that and to honor that.
Well, it's also important for you to understand it.
Exactly.
And know what's going on.
But, you know, I think we know that as women, but maybe it's teased about and joked about, or we just don't honor ourselves enough to say.
A lot of time women resent that. You think it's just because it's premenstrual tension. That's what you think's going on. That's not true. I have a reason to be angry. And they defend it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. See, I embrace it. I'm like, I'm PMS 28 days out of the month.
Oh, come on. It's a scratch. It's a crutch. Julie, how big a problem is this?
Oh, I think it's huge. And, you know, I wrote this book for the Christian women. I mean, it's big outside of, you know, the Christian circles. But boy, I think within our church system, we like things neat and tidy, Dr. Dobson. Yeah. We like steps and formulas and strategies. And, you know, you do all these seven things and bada bing, bada bang, it's solved. And I'm here to say this is a journey. This is a journey. And really 7 years from the time I truly recognized and said, God, help me, I have got to change, to when I realized, my gosh, I'm not reacting the way that I would have 4 years ago or 3 years ago, that type of thing.
So this is a dirty little secret.
It is.
In the homes and families, even of those who are deeply committed to Christ.
Oh, it is. And I think, you know, the things that kind of factor into it is because, boy, then we get into the discipline issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, my argument is not spanking versus not spanking. My issue is some of us don't have any business spanking
right.
our children because we have no control.
I've written that many times. If
you
this
have.
Is a problem for you, don't even go there.
Exactly. But, you know, we can get that pressure with our friends and our church families that this is how you take care of it. And, you know, Ricky is a perfect example, my second born. You know, in the womb, he moved. I swear I could open my mouth and see his elbow. He was all over the place. And he was born and he was bellowing. I mean, the moment we pushed him out. And my goal with Ricky was to fix him the first 4 years of his life. That was it. Hmm. There was something wrong with him. He was just like his dad's side of the family. And he needed, and he needed to be fixed. And that was my heart. That was my attitude, that, you know, there's something wrong. And I went to a conference, Hearts at Home conference, and a speaker was talking about family dynamics and temperaments. And that was the day when the Lord broke my heart. And for me, I realized Ricky's just like me.
Hmm.
He's a sanguine. You know, he likes to be the life of the party and control things. But that was the first day that my heart, I'm not lying, it melted. Hmm. And I loved him for who he is. And embraced him.
You know, in my book, Bringing Up Boys, I talked about the fact that many mothers see something in their sons that they don't recall in themselves because males are different than females. And they do feel that the boys need to be fixed. That's a very common maternal attitude toward boys, especially those that are, you know, climbing on things and into things and challenging and competitive and messy and noisy and all of that combined. So they set out to fix them. But you can't fix that masculine behavior. And in fact, if you try, you'll mess them up.
Well, let me give you a perfect story. He was 4 years old. He was downstairs in our basement with his best friend Colin and his sister Kristen, and it was an idyllic day. I mean, it was, I'd made Toll House cookies. Patrick had just woken up for a nap. He was on my hip. I had red and white gingham check curtains. I mean, it was just perfect. And the doorbell rings at our house, and we live in a town of 496 people. So the county sheriff has to come about, you know, 35 miles to our house. It's the county sheriff at my front door, and he's like, "Ma'am, are you okay?" through the screen door. And I'm like, "Well, I'm fine." He goes, "Well, we got a 911 call from this resident." And then we tried to call back and, you know, someone didn't hang up the line. So he said, "I just came 75 miles an hour from Macomb to check on things." And ding, you know, this light bulb. I said, "I've got somebody you need to talk to." So I take him downstairs. I go first and I see, you know, you can hear him scurrying, trying to hide. This sheriff, he comes out and he goes, "You kids come out right now." And I mean, all three of them, they just came out. And he said, "Who called 911? And Kristen and Colin finked him out. I mean, there was no loyalty. And this is what my son did. He stood and looked that sheriff straight in the eye. And I saw his shoulders go back and his chin go up. I would have wet my pants if I was 4 years old and there was a sheriff there.
He took him off.
And that was a turning point also. That's when I realized he's got his issues, you know, with authority. But my harshness with him, because well-meaning family had said over the years, you have got to rein him in. You cannot let him run over you. He will, if you don't control him now, he's going to control you later. Well, I saw a hardness in Ricky Neal at age four that scared me, Dr. Dobson. I mean, I literally that night thought he's going to be in a federal penitentiary one day, you know, if something doesn't happen.
And you do need to rein him in, but you can't do it all at once.
You can't do it with anger. Exactly,
yeah.
And break him like that.
Yeah, you just set up boundaries. That's a subject that I've dealt with. In your book, She's Gonna Blow, and that's what we're talking about today, Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger. What a practical book. In it, you talk about the warning signs of anger.
Yes.
Where people around you and children can begin to get, and especially the person who's inclined to get angry can begin to recognize in herself that she's getting close to the line.
Right.
What are those warnings?
I like to kind of liken it to the smaller earthquakes before a volcano actually explodes. There are just hundreds of smaller earthquakes. And I got to thinking one day, you know, you just don't wake up as a mother and go, you know, I want to be an angry, mean mother today. I mean, you know, you start off and you mean well, but sometimes you're not even allowed to wake up peacefully. You know, it's a screaming child or it's a kid hanging over your head at 3:30 going, I think I'm going to throw up. I mean, that's how your day starts. And so I got to thinking, what are some of the warning signs? What are these smaller earthquakes? Laundry is one that women relate to. It's never done. It's always there. And then they get older where you can try and help them, get them to help with the folding and all that. Well, then you can't delegate them to underwear duty because then they start making fun of everybody's underwear and all those kind of things. They start fighting and you start getting angry at that. But just these little things every day, you know, the laundry that has to be done. I remember the day I caught myself pulling a bowl out of my kitchen cabinet when I had company and I ran my hand across the bowl for the mess factor on it. You know, when you hold a glass up, I'm like, okay, it's good enough, you know, to go. And that bothered me because I liked neat and clean and tidy. I talk about Cheerios between the toes. The fact that one night I went to get a glass of water for a thirsty child, I had 7 Cheerios stuck between my toes, walking across. I know, and someone said, why don't you wear house slippers? Like, I did that, and that helped, you know? But just the...
How about sticky phones?
Oh.
You picked up the phone, and there's honey on it.
Well, and what I find so amusing is that your ability to deal with crud, you know, with every child seems to just get a little bit more and a little bit more.
Are you an orderly person?
I was an orderly person.
Yeah, but just didn't like chaos of any sort.
No, and I liked neat and tidy. I was an only child. I never had to share. I didn't get that a lot of times. And then you bring kids into the mix and trying to keep... And, you know, those seem insignificant, but... If from the first time you wake up and you walk down and you see the kitchen and you're like, oh, man, look at this kitchen.
Julie, I just looked at the clock. We're out of time and we got a lot more to talk about. I stopped you virtually in the middle of a sentence. Let's just come back tomorrow and let's take another run at it.
It'd be great.
We're going to pick up right here. I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're providing a real service for the moms that are out there. And anything that is a service for moms is a service for dads and children, too. So thank you for writing the book. It is She's Gonna Blow, Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk next time.
Great being here.
Those are some incredible insights into the frustrations that parents experience on a daily basis. And this is Family Talk, and you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's interview with author Julie Barnhill. Now, if you could relate to what was being talked about today, you'll want to get your hands on a copy of the book by Julie Barnhill called She's Gonna Blow. It's a popular book that really speaks to parents who struggle with remaining in control through stressful circumstances. I just love that title. Find a link for that book on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and thanks for your prayers and faithful financial support of Family Talk. If you didn't already know, Family Talk is completely funded by you, our faithful listeners. Every tax-deductible donation you make has an eternal impact on the marriages and families that we are ministering to. You can learn how you can partner with us here in 2019 when you visit our website at drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877 877- 732-6825. Dr. Dobson and all of us here at Family Talk are so very grateful for your faithful generosity. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as we end our week with the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Julie Barnhill. They'll discuss how women's emotions build up under the surface and why every parent must afford themselves grace. I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you'll be with us for that conversation right here next time on Family Talk. Have a blessed day, everyone.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Tim Clinton here. When you think about your family and where they'll be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? You hopeful? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your children and their children right now? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org. You're going to find helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.